Red heifers in the Holy Land. Christian Zionists clash with St. Robert Bellarmine, St. Jerome, and John Henry Newman on end times prophecy. Plus, Donald Trump declares Jerusalem the eternal capital of the Jews. And a 40-year-old prophecy has it that Benjamin Netanyahu will welcome the Messiah. So what's the war in the Holy Land really all about? Politics or religion? Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Mann. This is the Remnant Underground. So we have reached an important anniversary. We are celebrating here at the Remnant Underground the fifth anniversary of the World Health Organization's declaration of a global pandemic. And then it was 3 years ago already that they started in with the mass vaccination campaign. That's where it just got really cray-cray.
Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do.
That's just creepy. I mean, I guess that's why they call him Creepy Joe. That struck me as kind of creepy. In fact, it reminds me a little bit of this guy.
Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do.
We were shown the power of Big Brother 5 years ago, moving forward a couple of years after that.
Effectively, everyone's traumatized.
Right. Right. It's in the back of our minds still. We are still traumatized on some level. You think about all the small businesses that went down that never came back. All the little kids locked out of their classrooms. Or the vax victims. All the people who will never be the same. The folks who never went back to church. And I'm going to say a few things about some of our politicians and some of the directions of things that are going. But this is not about them. Okay? I want to be very clear at the outset. This is not about them. This is about religion. This is about what's happening to religion. It's about what's happening to us and all the players, whether we're talking Pope Francis or Elon Musk or Donald Trump. These are all just the human figures, the human agents. So I'm talking about something much bigger than that, especially again in how we perceive our religion, the Catholic religion, how that has changed. And I'm the first to admit that on the one hand, there has been a certain returning to God, which is welcome. And indeed, we've talked about it. We've done programs down here. On the other hand, there seems to be a dangerous lack of concern for which God we're turning back to. And that's what I want to talk about, because if you look at the revolution that we've been fighting for 50 years, traditional Catholics, 100 years, longer than that, right? It's all about that. Religion is fantastic. It doesn't matter which one. And as I've said so many times down here, the Second Vatican Council was co-opted by the enemies of traditional Catholicism to say what? To say, we now hoist the white flag of surrender. We do not believe the Catholic Church is the true church founded by Jesus Christ, outside of which there is no salvation. That idea, that dogma, that there is one true church, one true religion, that is what our friends over on the far left, the SPLC type, the ADL types, that's what they call religious supremacism, okay? That's part of the old world. So it doesn't matter how we get here. We just have to all get to the point where we agree in one big, happy, imagine there's no religion and no heaven and no hell too, one big, happy time where we stop saying that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. Now, that's how I want to premise all of this. Because, again, they've been trying that for a long time. If everybody's going to the happy place, if I, as a Catholic, in order to see God in the face, should really make use of all seven sacraments, or most of the sacraments that would apply to my state and life. And then Bob, my neighbor over here, he's a Baptist or whatever. He doesn't make use of any of them except for baptism. And I'm like, hey, we're both going to the happy place, Bob. Don't worry about it, buddy. I'm totally with you. My religion is no better than yours. Okay, after a while, how important are those sacraments? If I'm the only one that has to make use of them, and Bob and everybody else in the neighborhood, they don't care about them at all, and I give everybody, you see what I'm saying? See where it takes us? This idea that it doesn't matter which religion was founded by Jesus Christ, right? Which sacraments are important, doesn't really matter, you know? So that after a while of that, and especially during COVID, after they took Orwell's boot off of our face, most of us just couldn't possibly care any less anymore about doctrine.
And President Trump, as I've been with him for 24 years, had the faith initiative and opportunity last time. But this time, he elevated it to the highest level, as you said, putting an office in the West Wing, not only symbolic, but saying, this is the office for my pastors, for my rabbis, for my people of faith.
And we're all kind of beginning to believe and generally accept this Freemasonic Brotherhood of Man Enlightenment suggestion that all religions are fine, every religion is fine, it doesn't matter. It's all good because the Brotherhood of Man trumps everything, right? It certainly trumps any divisive delusions on our part of some doctrinal supremacy, some deposit of faith given to us by God. Well, that's just silly. That's supremacism and superstition, right? That's been the message. So over the course of COVID, I think a lot of people began to sort of accept this. We're just desperate for anybody who might believe in God at all, who might want to pray. It doesn't matter to whom, as long as you pray somewhere, sometime, right? Thus finishing the job that the modernist revolution had started in the Catholic Church centuries ago. What do you think? If you're a Catholic, I know most of you in this audience are. Is there still one true church founded by Jesus Christ, outside of which there can be no salvation? That's the doctrine of your church, extra ecclesia nulla salus, a defined dogma of the church. Is that what you still believe? Does it even matter? Or have all religions now combined to become the one true religion, the one true church that will make America great again and bring peace to the world? I'm going to talk about that in a brief, after a brief word from tonight's sponsor, which is our friends over at Our Lady of Victory Homeschool.
My name is Scott Jones, and I am the director of Our Lady of Victory School. Our Lady of Victory School was founded in response to a number of parents who were concerned with the negative influences their children were experiencing in Catholic and public schools. Our accredited program is founded on the traditional practice of the faith. Whether you are a first-time homeschooler or a veteran with years of homeschooling experience behind you, Our Lady of Victory is here to help you. Homeschooling is the best option for your children to receive a quality education and save their souls. So welcome to the homeschool community, and thank you for choosing Our Lady of Victory School.
All right, so let's just get right into that. What in the world is happening to religion in the post-COVID world? And what does it have to do with Antichrist, if anything? Because I got to tell you, when I was a kid, growing up in a traditional Catholic family, in a traditional Catholic home, the priests, the adults around me, they weren't talking so much about a new world order in those days. That came much later. What dominated, and I remember this very clearly, what dominated the conversations during that post-Vatican II, the nightmare years, if you will, it was something that they just simply called the one world religion. It was out of the one world religion that Antichrist was prophesied to rise up. I remember hearing that as a child and being quite concerned about it. It was really scary stuff. And this one world religion is based on a Freemasonic brotherhood of man. Okay? And we're definitely seeing that now. Don't let your doctrine get in the way of getting along, right? Don't be running around telling people how great your religion is. We just need to get along, man. That's what it's all about. Live and let live. Just get along in this world. We're getting that even really from the Pope himself. This brotherhood of man thing, trumping all doctrine, all dogma, all liturgy, all religious supremacism.
Because if we start to fight amongst ourselves and saying, my religion is more important than yours, my religion is true, yours is not, where will that lead us?
Dove?
Where will it lead us?
Tutte le religioni sono un cammino per arrivare a Dio.
Because every religion is a way to arrive at God.
From the Vatican of Pope Francis, which is, you know, all over the place, to the fever swamps of so-called Christian Zionism, to this war for greater Israel in the Holy Land, all the way over even to now the White House, are we beginning to see the rise of that one world religion? Remember, people can get involved with this thinking that it's all the right thing to do. So let's take a Donald Trump, for example. He's not a theologian. He doesn't know. I don't think he even has a denomination. So when you say that what's happening, there could be sort of the vehicle or the enabling of the rise of this one world religion, this isn't to ascribe knowledge or malice to a person like Trump. You don't know. I wouldn't expect him to understand what's going on here. That's what I meant earlier. This isn't about the blame game. This is about the reality of what actually is happening in our world, right? Now, the great cardinal, now Saint John Henry Newman, he said that the sign, one of the signs of the Antichrist, is a general abandonment of Jesus Christ as the sole means of salvation. Saint John Henry Newman said that the Church of God on earth will be greatly reduced in the times of the Antichrist by an open desertion of the powers of the world. This desertion will begin in a professed indifference to any particular form of Christianity under the pretense of universal toleration, which will proceed from a design to undermine Christianity by multiplying and encouraging the different sects of Christians. From this toleration of the most pestilent heresies, the world governments will proceed to a positive persecution of the truth of Christianity, end quote. So if you say, now, it doesn't matter, man, as long as you're Christian, yes, everybody's going to the happy place. Well, what fools that makes of the martyrs then? They were wrong, right? So either they were wrong or we're wrong in our tolerance. And now you have John Henry Newman saying the tolerance of all errors like this, the tolerance of any and all forms of Christianity without any settled determination of the truth of one of them, veracity of one of them, this, says Newman, is a sign of Antichrist. Kind of important to talk about it, don't you think? Just because we are the most dumbed-down Christians in the history of Christianity does not mean that we're right in our tolerance and our brotherhood of man. Now, that's going to happen, says Newman, that the Antichrist will manifest himself in an environment like that, sort of a pan-Christian environment, as Pius XI called it. Well, as Pius XI condemned it. Pan-Christianism, right? Pan-Christianity. That's going to happen, says Newman, as the Antichrist rises. And what do we have today? And this is what I want to talk about. This is why it's not about individuals. It's not about politicians. It's about the phenomenon. What in the world are we looking at right now?
Part of the reason why Hamas invaded is because of these red heifers. And according to prophecy, these red heifers are significant. From the time of Israel's history, they say that only 9 have been killed for these ashes. And so for these to be here in Shiloh here, and for that to fit in with what appears to be prophecy on the horizon, we're living in monumental days, unbelievable times.
Well, here's the significance of it. You can't have a priesthood without the red heifer sacrifice. The ashes of that sacrifice get mixed with flowing water. That becomes an atonement for their sin. And you can't enter into temple service without being purified by the ashes of a red heifer.
What in thunder is going on here? Because this is not some anomaly. What's going on? These guys running around with the red heifers? Can't wait for this all to happen? Like, all that's missing, does this not seem like a cult to you? Like, the only thing that's missing maybe are the Kool-Aid drinkers and the Nikes and the purple capes? This is crazy. What happened to Christianity? Even the Protestant version of it. What the heck is that? They can't wait for the temple of the Old Testament, which St. Robert Bellarmine, doctor of the church, said is the place from where the Antichrist will reign.
As St. Robert states, quote, "But nevertheless, the true opinion is that the Antichrist should rule from Jerusalem, not from Rome, from the temple of Solomon and the throne of David, and not the temple of St. Peter and the Apostolic See," close quote. St. Robert supports this argument using both scripture and tradition, showing that this is the common teaching of the fathers, even showing that elsewhere St. Jerome has written of the Antichrist being in Jerusalem. St. Robert quotes Lactantius, who states that after the termination of the Roman Empire, during the time of the Antichrist, the supreme rule will pass over to Asia, and the Orient will dominate while the West is in servitude. Lactantius clearly states in what part of Asia the Antichrist shall rule. That's Syria. A particular part of Syria, now remember, this is the ancient Latin terminology. The particular part of Syria in which the Antichrist shall be is Judea. St. Robert also discusses the teaching of the Antichrist and points out four major doctrines. First, he will deny that Jesus is the Christ, as we read in 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denieth the Father and the Son. Therefore, he will attack everything our Savior instituted, such as baptism, confirmation, and so forth. He shall teach the Jewish laws, such as circumcision, keeping the Sabbath, and ancient ceremonies have not ceased, but still have force. Second, he will assert that he himself is the true Christ promised in the Law and Prophets, as we read in John chapter 5 and verse 43. Another will come in his own name, and him you will receive.
Well, that's anti-Semitism, man. Some of you, by the way, some of you got mad at me last week because I said anti-Semitism is a mortal sin. I'm going to put down here in the link what I mean by that, because I clarified it at our website, at social media. Follow me on X, by the way. What I mean by that is the classic definition of anti-Semitism, which Cardinal Maria Del Valle, under Pius XI in 1925, head of the Holy Office, which he defined as a blood hatred of the Jewish people, which is commonly called, he said, anti-Semitism. 1925, Holy Office, Cardinal Maria Del Valle defines that. So that's what I mean by anti-Semitism. So yes, Robert Bellarmine is saying the Antichrist will teach the Jewish law. This has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. This is what the doctor of the church believed, right, based on Scripture and based on fathers of the church. So that's going on with the Protestants chasing red heifers around, just giddy as schoolboys, that the Antichrist is coming. At the same time now, we have religious Zionist rabbis, I mean, not secular rabbis, but secular Jews, but actually religious Jews, Zionists, calling Donald Trump God's emissary in the global battle against evil. Again, they come up with this according to Old Testament prophecy. Again, people say, man, Michael, Matt, stay out of politics. You gotta go into the religion, man. Stay where you belong. First of all, I majored in political science. I'm not a theologian. I'm a newspaper guy. But I'm looking at the politicians all around us right now. Every one of them is talking about the Bible, prophecies, religion. This is all religion now. Politics in America right now is religion. Global politics, global, the war in the Middle East right now. You think that's a political, that is, we're going to get into that in a minute. But this letter then, coming from the Sanhedrin, I kid you not, in Jerusalem, this letter to Donald Trump is signed by, they actually call themselves that. They call themselves rabbis of the Sanhedrin. And it concludes with this, rather unsettling paragraph, and I'll just read it to you. The Sanhedrin to Donald Trump. Again, I am not blaming Donald Trump for this. I'm just telling you what's going on as a newspaper guy, because that's kind of my job. I'm supposed to just observe what's going on and tell you about it, right? Not be a cheerleader for any political party or any politician. Here's what they say. Quote, we invite you to meet with the Sanhedrin court rabbis in Jerusalem to discuss the establishment of an international divine court, an IDC for all nations. This court would be based on the 7 universal commandments given to Noah and reaffirmed at Mount Sinai, a foundation for global peace and divine justice, end quote. Now, of course, they are talking about the Noahide laws. That's what's supposed to replace the United Nations. See this little war going on against the United Nations, which is fine with me if they get rid of the United Nations, but my feeling is, there is a push to have Elon Musk cancel the United Nations and then set up this international divine court based on the Noahide laws. That's classic frying pan into the fire, it seems to me. And the Sanhedrin goes on, quote, to Donald Trump, you have been elected as Cyrus was in his time to fulfill a heavenly mission, to unite all believers in God and to foster ethical cooperation across all spheres of human activity. Sounds like religion to me. And why is this Sanhedrin of Jerusalem praising Donald Trump like this as the great Cyrus? Well, I mean, there's a number of reasons, but first of all would be because Trump told the world, he informed the entire world some time ago that Jerusalem is, wait for it, Israel's eternal capital.
And I stood proudly with our friend and ally, the state of Israel. I kept my promise, recognized Israel's eternal capital, and opened the American embassy in Jerusalem, and actually got it built. I actually got it built.
You see, all of you thinking it's just about October 7th still. This is a religious war, as we're going to explain in a minute. This whole war is about the eternal capital of Jerusalem being given, not to the Christians, being given back to the Jews, again, as if Christ never came. As if Christ, as St. Pius X pointed out, as if Christ hadn't already made Jerusalem blessed and holy, the holy city of Christians, friends. Do you see what you're doing when you get all behind this? They are now saying it is the eternal capital of Jews, not Christians. Our Holy Land is theirs. According to the politicians, the politics, the geopolitics of the day. And again, Donald Trump is not a theologian. Somebody's putting this stuff in his head, right? He's not coming up with this on his own. Trust me, the Manhattan businessman. But this is the new agenda of the conservatism of the moment. And this eternal capital that Trump speaks about, this is what? This is the language. This is language lifted right from the lexicon of religion. This is religious language. It's also, of course, the language that's been used and shouted and screamed by Christian Zionists for decades.
Jerusalem is where Messiah will come and establish a kingdom that will never end. We thank you, O Lord, for President Donald Trump's courage in acknowledging to the world a truth established 3,000 years ago, that Jerusalem is and always shall be the eternal capital of the Jewish people.
What ham-bone performative nonsense straight from central casting. But that's a lot of what this is all about, right? You remember this guy Hagee, right?
To understand how influential Christian Zionists have become, you have to understand John Hagee. This Texas pastor is the founder and leader of Christians United for Israel, or CUFI, an organization that claims to have 10 million members. That makes Hagee influential outside the movement, too, with lots of big-name friends in politics. As we saw earlier, Hagee and many of his counterparts insist the Holy Land is actually promised to Jews by God, and so they want to see the West Bank remain under Israel's control, because it's a necessary step for Jesus Christ's return to earth.
Now, that particular video, that dropped, I don't know, December of 2022. And it's depicting things that happened, obviously, a lot longer because Pastor Hagee is quite a bit thinner and quite a bit younger in that one, right? Now, he's white-haired and he's a heavy-set man. So it's lots of years have passed since he was saying these things. And I only bring it up because there are still people, I think it's a dwindling remnant, who still believe this whole thing has something to do with Israel's right to defend herself, right? I mean, this has been coming for a long, 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 long time, friends. And all along, Christian Zionists have been the rocket fuel behind the war in Israel, okay? And they are applying massive pressure on President Donald Trump to turn his presidency into a conduit for the fulfillment of what they call end times prophecy.
And we move the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. That's for the evangelicals. You know, it's amazing with that. The evangelicals are more excited about that than Jewish people. It's really, right? It's incredible.
You know, our foreign policy right now, U.S. foreign policy, and this is no exaggeration, is based on a 3,000-year-old promise that God made to Jews regarding their eternal Jerusalem. No, that's exactly what it is. That's what's happening over there right now. We are intimately linked to that process, preparing the way for the Messiah in Jerusalem, the eternal city of Jerusalem. That's American foreign policy. And now what you have is you have such a fundamentalism that people are going to jail for not going along with the tenets of this new American Jewish confessional state.
When Secretary Rubio rescinds the green card of a person he probably never heard of because of statements the person made on the Columbia University campus last April. This, of course, is a big deal here in New York. It should be a big deal everywhere because it's an attack on freedom of speech like we haven't seen in this country in many generations. But I suspect it is the Trump Department of Homeland Security and DOJ doing a favor for the president's Zionist backers.
The truth is, Judge, that the single greatest threat to freedom of speech in the United States at this point in time is Israel and its supporters here.
Now, this is just happening, folks. And shouting, "You're an anti-Semite," it's not going to make this go away. The problem's not going to go away. As we pointed out last week, even Jewish guys are complaining about this. Like, discussion can't even ensue within a few seconds the guy across the table from you screaming, "You're an anti-Semite," even in Glenn Greenwald's case, when you're Jewish.
You cannot enter a discussion with an Israel defender without them immediately accusing you of being a racist if they disagree with you. "Oh, you're an anti-Semite." Try and have an argument. Criticize Israel just a little bit and count down the number of seconds before you get accused of being motivated by bigotry and hatred.
Do they say that to you?
Constantly. Yo, being Jewish is not in any way, does not give you any kind of immunity from that accusation. Like, zero.
Now, what Greenwald is talking about here, friends, is a kind of, religious fanaticism, a fundamentalism, a zealotry, right? Rigidity, for sure. If you criticize Israel, you are, in effect, now blaspheming. You're guilty of the sin of anti-Semitism, so they say, right? They've called it a sin, not the real anti-Semitism, which is blood hate, but the sin of criticizing the holy country. What we're looking at here, friends, whether some people want to admit it or not, is we're looking at a global religion and a confessional state.
But Netanyahu was back just a few months later, forming a coalition with ultra-Orthodox and religious Zionist parties. He began his third premiership almost exactly a year ago.
And you say, "Yeah, but, I mean, what about October 7th, man? What about Hamas?" I say, how about that? What was that? I'll tell you what that was. As far as Bibi Netanyahu is concerned, that was a game changer.
With many in his own country blaming him for the worst security failure in Israel's history, Netanyahu is once again relying on religious language to rally the country.
The Bible says that there is a time for peace and a time for war. This is a time for war.
That kind of language is recognized by evangelical Christians in the United States, who are still able to influence U.S. policy in the Middle East.
And the point, again, friends, is that this war has been going on for years.
Right after 9/11, about 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me in. He said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs," meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, "today." And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran." I said, "Is it classified?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, I said, well, don't show it to me.
That was the game plan then. And if it sounds familiar, well, it's because we played clips down here with Jeffrey Sachs much, much more recently, saying basically the same thing. Sachs is like a broken record on this, that this has been the plan all along.
It is an extremist government led by an extremist who has broken his own country, who has put his own country in a constitutional crisis, who has championed America to go to war in Syria, in Lebanon, in Sudan, in Libya, in Iraq. And now he's obviously, from the clips we watched, goading America to go to war in Iran. It's time for an America first foreign policy. This is not that. This is a radical extremist BB foreign policy.
The same list of countries that General Clark was talking about.
Starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
You see what's happening here, friends? We're going to war, and we haven't gone to war for a long, long time, for a religion, for Bible-based biblical prophecy, I should say. End times prophecy.
This is a radical, extremist, BB foreign policy.
This is a war of religion, and it's being waged by a Jewish confessional state, and in whose name now President Donald Trump moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And this is a long time ago. This is first term. This is 2016, not recently. Already, Trump was pushed by these Christian Zionists, by his son Jared, by the Jewish Zionists, which again came much later. The Christian Zionists are the ramrod. They are the rocket fuel behind this, right? And they moved Donald Trump to relocate the embassy, the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem a long time ago, years ago, to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Donald Trump ended up passing the Taylor Force Act, making it illegal for U.S. funding to go to Palestinians. And Donald Trump announced that the U.S. would no longer consider Israeli settlements illegal under international law. And it is in those Israeli settlements that we had the horrific event of October 7th. Because the Hamas terrorist attack took place on what they considered to be an illegal occupation of their land. I'm not saying this to justify Hamas. I'm saying, what in the world? Why was the U.S. 5, 7, 8 years ago saying that those settlements are wide open? They're not illegal. So this ended up with a terrorist attack that resulted in the death of a lot of people because of our meddling over there. Why are we meddling in this religious war?
It's time for an America first foreign policy. This is not that. This is a radical, extremist, BB foreign policy.
Again, years before October 7, 2023, this is going on. All of us, the American people financing a religious war based on a truly bizarre prophecy.
40 years ago, when Netanyahu was Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, he met Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the leader of the Chabad-Lubavitch movement, known simply as the Rebbe. The Rebbe reportedly believed Netanyahu had a mission from God to prepare Israel for the coming of the Messiah, or in Hebrew, the Moshiach.
He obviously demands from Netanyahu to take some steps to hasten the coming of Messiah, which is to make Israel a more religious place and to take certain concrete steps in this regard. And Netanyahu says, I'm definitely doing that.
And remember, when it comes to this religious war and the leader of this religious war, a man who eventually is going to hand the baton on to the Messiah, Bibi Netanyahu, it doesn't matter which party is in power in the U.S., in Washington, Republican, Democrats. He doesn't care. It's all the same.
Netanyahu spent many years living and working in the United States and has always believed in his ability to influence America.
America.
יש דעת קהל, יש לנו כוחות כבירים בדעת הקהל שמתנגדים למדיניות הזאת, גדולי הפרשנים. אמריקה לא תכפה לנו דבר, אם לא נכפה.
And today, his relationship with President Joe Biden may not be perfect, but that confidence, at least outwardly, is still there.
בשיחותיי עם הנשיא ביידן ועם מנהיגים אחרים בעולם, ובמאמצים רבים אחרים, אנחנו מגייסים לישראל תמיכה בינלאומית כבירה. אנחנו מבטיחים את המשך המלחמה עם עוד תחמושת שמגיעה לארץ, עוד אמצעי לחימה.
The Rebbe prophesied that the Messiah would come at the end of the reign of one Bibi Netanyahu.
A couple of years after this meeting, the Rebbe reportedly told a young Netanyahu that he would one day become Prime Minister of Israel and would be the nation's last leader before handing the scepter to the Messiah.
Some of the most powerful members of the current administration are demanding that we finance a religious war in the Holy Land that has as its ultimate goal to welcome the Messiah. They can't make it up.
Doing that.
And you say, well, come on, man. I mean, that's just a silly old prophecy. Nobody cares about that old guy.
U.S. presidents paid homage to him, establishing and proclaiming a National Education and Sharing Day in honor of his birthday.
And please give my warmest regards to the Rebbe.
That was a long time ago. Maybe. But that old guy, he is still being honored by U.S. presidents 30 years after his death. Donald Trump's evangelical advisor, the wife of the Journey keyboard guy, Jonathan Cain, Pastor Paula, she says that Christians must learn from Jews and not try to convert them. And this is essentially the exact same apostasy, the same heretical doctrine, if you will, that was trotted out at the time of the Second Vatican Council in the document Nostra Aetate, as we pointed out a couple of weeks ago. Even Wikipedia has it that, quote, as a representative of the American Jews at the Second Vatican Council, Rabbi Hesch persuaded the Catholic Church to eliminate or modify passages in its liturgy that referred to an expected conversion of the Jewish people to Christianity. He believed that no religious community could claim a monopoly on religious truth, end quote. Let's review now. The evangelical Christians, they're all in.
We know that Israel is God's land, Israel is God's place, and the Jewish people are God's people. We also know that millions of us who are evangelicals and Christians stand together alongside of you with that recognition, understanding the importance of being on the right side of history and the right side of Hashem.
And the Jewish Zionists, they're all in as well.
The prophet Zechariah declared over 2,500 years ago, so said the Lord, I will return to Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And it was here in Jerusalem, some 2,000 years later, that the soldiers of Israel spoke three immortal words, Har Habayit Bidenu, the Temple Mount is in our hands. We are in Jerusalem, and we are here to stay.
What they all seem to agree on is that a one-world religion is going to come out of this, based on a Messiah who is yet to come.
Jerusalem is where Messiah will come and establish a kingdom that will never end.
Who's yet to come. God help us, friends. Can there be anything more Luciferian than that? Jerusalem is where the Messiah will come, says Pastor Hagee. That's exactly what St. Robert, the doctor of the church, St. Robert Bellarmine, that's exactly what he said, only he was referring to the Antichrist.
As St. Robert states, quote, "But nevertheless, the true opinion is that the Antichrist should rule from Jerusalem, not from Rome, from the Temple of Solomon and the throne of David, and not the Temple of St. Peter and the Apostolic See." Close quote.
So please don't insult me by trying to say this is anti-Semitic. I mean, I have been down here for months, again, quoting and citing Jews, Orthodox Jews, who, as far as I'm concerned, are traditional Catholic equivalents in their religion, who are absolutely opposed to what's going on here. This is not anti-Semitism. This is anti-Zionism. And yes, I am an anti-Zionist and proud of it, whether it's Christian or Jewish.
The founder of Zionist, his name was Theodor Herzl from Vienna, Austria. He don't believe in God. He don't believe in nothing. The Judaism is completely a religious movement, have nothing to do with any nationality, with any materialistic things. The Zionist often waving the flag of the promised land, the promised land. You say God promised land, you said the Torah. You don't believe in the Torah, you don't believe in God, so you don't eat kosher.
Friends, this entire program is not, it's meant to be a wake-up call, you know, for all of us to put our heads together, say our prayers, and figure out what's going on here, and don't be deceived. It's a warning that even the elect could be deceived. Jesus Christ warns us of this in Matthew 24:24. I think we should take it seriously, because it seems to be happening all around us. Good people are being deceived. Jesus is referring to the false Christ and the false prophets who will perform great signs and great wonders to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones, the elect. So the question is, how do we protect ourselves? What do we do? How do we get through? Well, it's so simple, friends. It really is. It requires the faith of a child, right? It requires not the tomes of the entire Summa. It requires the Baltimore Catechism, the Penny Catechism. Just stick to what you know is true about the incarnation, about Jesus Christ, about the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, about what we must do to save our souls and not be deceived by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Pray. Pray every day, especially the rosary. And laser focus on Jesus Christ the King, who's still right out there, friends. He's right out there. You can see him in the fog, in the mist, right, of the battlefield. He's still there, leading us through this darkness. You just got to focus on him. Don't lose track. Don't fall behind. He's leading us to the ultimate victory, but you have to have the faith to stay with him, even when it gets dark and cloudy and misty on a battlefield. We just cannot allow ourselves to take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, even for one moment. We have to stick with what we know, says St. John Henry Newman once again, who says, in these times of the Antichrist, the temple of God will be reduced to a small number of real Christians who worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and who regulate their doctrine and their worship and their whole conduct strictly by the word of God, says John Henry Newman. And that, dear friends, is exactly what we need to do. It's exactly what we must do, and it's exactly what we are doing right now, so that we will not be deceived. Keep the faith, friends. And by the way, Christ is King.